The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Hello and welcome to this week's World Traveler. I'm Leah Blackman with the Virginia Voice. Our first article is from the NewYorkTimes.com. Discovering Albania's timeless Vajosa River. Amid fertile valleys, gorges, ancient ruins, and mountain villages, Europe's first wild river national park attempts to balance tourism and conservation. By Alex Crevar, September 18, 2023. A journey along southern Albania's Vajosa River, one of Europe's last undammed waterways, means traversing a landscape that looks much as it has for centuries. Flowing from Greece's northwestern border to the Adriatic Sea, the Vajosa rushes into box canyons and gorges formed by steep forests of maples, oaks, and firs. Ancient stone bridges connect its banks, spanning turquoise water. Sheep graze the valley floor, and vineyards, family farms, orchards, and olive groves intermingle with fields of dandelions and red poppies. Earlier this year, Albania took a critical step toward preserving this timelessness with the establishment of the Vajosa Wild River National Park, a first in Europe, and a destination included on this year's 52 places to go list. The Albanian government, the International Union for Conservation of Nature, non-governmental organizations from the Save the Blue Heart of Europe campaign, and the adventure apparel retailer Patagonia worked together to protect Albania's 120-mile section of the river and its main tributaries. The 169-mile Vajosa source is in Greece's Pindus Mountains. After years of protests against mining and dam projects and support from Leonardo DiCaprio, the park's designation was a victory. Our support for the Vajosa really stepped up when we began partnering with the Albanian government in 2021. To do something that hadn't been done before, said Ryan Gellert, Patagonia's chief executive. According to Mr. Gellert, the plan is for the park to be fully operational with the visitor center and staff in 2024. For both locals and tourists, the park's designation is a boon, if not a lifeline. Communities have depended on the river since before recorded history. And in a country already renowned for its food, the Vajosa Valley's terroir sets the bar even higher. Hardy fruits and vegetables, trout, mountain honey, lamb, wine, veal, raki, brandy, cheeses and herbs are in abundance, along with Balkan hospitality. When I arrived in late April, snow still covered the peaks above the river. I'd come to raft, hike, and cycle segments of the new park, which, including Vajosa's tributaries, safeguards around 250 miles of river and more than 31,000 acres. An ecosystem with around 1,200 species, 15 of which are threatened. I was also there to learn about tourism's growing influence. 10 years ago, everyone was running away from the villages, Morella Kumbaro, Albania's Minister of Tourism and Environment, wrote in an email. Now we have more and more people who, after emigrating, are returning to their villages to open guest houses, agritourism, and agricultural farms, she wrote. I see the future of tourism as friendly with the environment, with people who will value nature as a priceless asset. Paddling with the Queen. The valley bustled with visitors when I made my first stop in the town of Premet, which straddles a bend in the Boyosa, about 20 miles from the Greek border. The second annual Boyosa Infest, celebrating the river's culture, was in full swing in the former Ottoman commercial center called the City of Roses that's becoming an adventure hub. The festival's lineup included musical acts, guided hiking, horseback riding, cycling, and rafting. As evening fell, locals and foreigners in outdoor gear packed the streets, listening to the festival's headlining ensemble, Sazet et Permitit, with each sultry song, a blend of polyphonic voices, clarinets, violins, and accordions, the crowd locked arms to revel under the stars. The next morning, after a breakfast of traditional gliko, nuts or fruit boiled in sugar water and stored in syrup, and strong stove-cooked coffee, I walked from my guest house to the main square's riverside cafes and shops. Old men played dominoes in front of a produce stand. At the offices of Boyosa Explora, a company that leads raft tours, I reserved the final spot in a raft of bleary-eyed festival goers. We were awakened by the cold river, running high with snowmelt, as it snaked between canyon walls. About halfway into the three-hour expedition, we pulled onto a pebbly beach. One of Boyosa Explorer's owners, Irma Teco, waited on the beach. The first time I visited Western Europe and saw fruit so shiny and perfect, I was ashamed of our ugly fruit in Albania, Ms. Teco said, passing out apples. Then I ate that shiny fruit and realized it was tasteless. Our fruit in Albania is like the country itself, not polished, but full of flavor. Behind us, 8,143-foot Maha e Papengut, the highest point in the Namurka Range, poked through wispy clouds. Locals call the mountain by its mythical name, Peak of Light. I really saw my country for the first time when I rafted the Boyosa, Ms. Teco said, handing me a cup of mountain tea with linden flowers, sage, lemon, and honey. I'm scared of mass tourism. I call Boyosa the queen, and the mountains are her crown. We must show her and her crown respect. From obscurity to adventure, travel magnet. On an infrastructural level, Albania is not, as Ms. Teco mentioned, polished. Where this country, especially its remote interior, shines is with local guest houses, local interactions, yes, except that glass of raki, an unscripted discovery. Because we're natural hosts and have a varied geography, sea, mountains, and rivers like Boyosa, and a small area, the country always exceeds expectations. Jet Mahdi, the founder of Outdoor Albania, which has led adventure tours since 1991, told me over the phone. This combination of hospitality and untapped potential makes the relatively undiscovered Boyosa Valley intoxicating. It also creates fertile conditions for over-tourism. Mass tourism and urbanization is a risk, said Andre Sovink, a protected area expert with the International Union for Conservation of Nature, the organization that classified the Boyosa as a national park. To address this, we are developing a vision for sustainable tourism development in and around the Boyosa WRNP that puts local people and the conservation of natural and cultural values at the focus. Walking with culture's caretakers. For the next several days, I stayed at Firma Albanic, a family-run guest house whose owner, Ilona Bejo, works with local farmers for ingredients she doesn't grow herself. Farmers here are the caretakers of culture, said Miss Bejo, who acts as Albanic's gardener, concierge, yoga instructor, and hiking guide. It's important that the families with endurance, those who stayed in the valley instead of leaving, are shown appreciation as the economy shifts to tourism. My initial hike was a modern one, up to the spring-fed 65-foot Sopoti waterfall. The next trek was an hour's walk south of Permet to the 18th-century Orthodox St. Mary's Church in the hillside settlement of Lusa. The three-nave stone and brick church, which has an intricately carved wooden iconostasis, is awash with frescoes and murals. I then met Mrs. Bejo, who guided me into the narrow Lingerica Canyon, which cradles the Lingerica River, a Vallosa tributary, and a series of hot springs near the village of Benja. We walked past the Ottoman-era Kaitui Bridge that frames the largest of the thermal baths, already crowded. We ambled upstream in knee-deep water to more secluded pools. Each of the six sulfur baths has a specific medical benefit. We chose the one for rheumatism and relaxed as a rain shower passed over. The next day, we made a 45-minute scramble from the riverside town of Kalsaira to the unmarked remains of a 2,400-year-old Illyrian fortress on a ridge overlooking the Vallosa. Hundreds of feet below the ruins, a tour of kayakers, orange boats and red helmets against electric teal water, paddled through the Kalsaira Gorge. From this strategic vantage, ancient residents once communicated with smoke signals to other outposts, warning of invaders, Greeks, Macedonians, Romans. Between treks, we walked to villages to visit families who worked with Ms. Bejo. In Gostovich, Flora and Krenar Sali have 150 beehives making honey from mountain flowers called badunica. In the village of Peshtan, below the nearly 6,000-foot Mount Golikut, we met Mira Muka, who runs the Bujtina Peshtan Guesthouse and Campsite. She showed us her collection of weapons from the Vallosa's Italian-Greek front line during World War II. About 10 years ago, 15 people stopped here, she said. This year, it will be 1,500. The Vallosa gives us everything. People, fish, water. It is our past and future. Cycling to the Adriatic. For my last stretch, I hopped on the country's new 675-mile UNESCO cycling route, part of which rolls through the Vallosa Basin to the river's Adriatic terminus. My ride, around 30 miles per day over 3 days, began in Gjirokastra, a World Heritage Site inscribed for its architectural character typical of the Ottoman period. The town's slate-roof buildings are spread along the Drinos River, one of the park's newly protected tributaries. The hometown of the author Ismail Kadri and the dictator Enver Hoxha, Stone City buzzed with visitors roaming its 13th-century castle and its bazaar's steep, cobbled streets. In the front of Giro Art Center, a cooperative of local artisans, I joined a group drinking fire-roasted coffee. Our idea in Gjirokastra is to show traditions and hospitality matter, one artist said, filling cups. The trail continued north along the Drinos, passing the 222-acre archaeological park of Antigonia, where stone blocks outline an ancient Greek city. The path followed a state road with rolling climbs and sweeping descents opening into valleys. Sheep glided across green pastures like bleeding clouds. In the city of Tepelina, a 19th-century castle stood guard near the confluence of the Drinos and Vallosa. I stopped at the Lord Byron Guesthouse, named for the English poet who visited the town in 1809. In the courtyard, surrounded by fruit trees, I sat down for lunch made with ingredients grown on the property's farm. Green salad, grilled peppers and eggplant, pasta with olive oil and garlic. From here, the route shifted back to the Villosa, where solitude was broken by villages perched above farmland. Families looked up from work to wave. The course eventually took me past another archaeological treasure, Bilis, and the remains of an Illyrian city. Villosa's big picture includes the environment, economic growth, and the balance between them, said Rosarta Berry, a tourism advisor for the German Agency for International Cooperation in Albania, which supported the UNESCO cycling route. The real story, though, is about people. This region's people are warm and kind, the epitome of southern Albanian hospitality. The Villosa conversation is important because it sheds light on the vulnerability of people, nature, and culture, all intertwined on this untamed river. Wine in the Delta. The river ended just north of Vallora, the country's second largest coastal city, founded by Greeks 2,600 years ago. After wrestling traffic here at the beginning of the Albanian Riviera, which is squeezed between the Adriatic and Ionian Seas, I rode to the Villosa Narta protected area. Covering nearly 50,000 acres between the Villosa Delta and Narta Lagoon, the bayou-like expanse is heaven for birders, with nearly 200 species, including flamingos. It's a critical migratory habitat. It's also the center of a recent Villosa controversy, as the government has begun constructing a new airport within the protected zone. Near the mouth of the river, I pedaled past salt flats to Catina Balage, the Balage Winery's restaurant and tasting room, and with a glass of orange wine, watched the sun settle over the delta. In environmental protection, you have to win every day, so when you finally have a win that is long-lasting, such as the declaration of the Villosa Wild River National Park, it's important to pause and feel a moment of hope, Patagonia's Ryan Gellert wrote in an email after I finished the journey. It was an incredible moment for all of us, but we are clear-eyed that the work really starts here. That was Discovering Albania's Timeless Villosa River by Alex Krivar, September 18, 2023. Our next article is from worldatlas.com, Culture and Traditions of Albania. Albania is a country found in southeastern part of Europe and covers an area of approximately 11,100 square miles. According to the 2016 census, the country had about 3 million inhabitants. It has its capital in Tirana, which serves as a center for economic and commercial activities. The Albanian culture is a combination of the culinary, literary, political, musical, and artistic aspects of the people of Albania, elements that have been nurtured over time and passed down from generation to generation. Brief history. A considerable part of Albanian culture borrows heavily from the ancient Illyrian tribe that lived in present-day Albanian region many centuries ago. The name Albania was derived from the name Albanois, which was a tribe that was part of the broader Illyrian community. Albanians used the golden eagle as the national symbol. This symbol dates back to the 10th century, and it represents courage, heroism, bravery, and freedom. Lifestyle customs. Albanians follow customs called the kanun, And these are sets of traditional and cultural practices that have their origins in the laws of the Illyrian tribe that has been passed down orally from one generation to another. The Canoon has four pillars that guide the people in life, and they are honor, hospitality, right conduct, and kin loyalty. The Canoon also has an honor code called BESA, which compels any Albanian to have the ability to keep their promises and see to their obligations in life. And it is the code of conduct that ensures that an agreement between two honorable members is seen to completion. The Canoon calls upon people to take care and comfort to those who are in need, regardless of their religious or racial affiliations. And this was the reason the Albanians offered refuge to the Jewish people in the 1940s during the Holocaust. Holidays. The people of Albania have a host of holidays that commemorate different events and notable individuals. And these holidays are spread throughout the year. On November 28th of every year, Albanians across Southeast Europe celebrate their flag and Independence Day in remembrance of the liberty they attained in 1912 from the Ottoman Empire. The event is usually marked with military parades in all the major cities. There is also Bajram, which is a Muslim holiday that is observed as a day for forgiveness, peace, and moral victory, unity, and fellowship. The holiday is characterized by the slaughtering of a sheep and sharing the meat with friends, family, and the less fortunate in society. The date for observing Bajram varies from year to year, as it depends on the appearance of the crescent moon. Dita e Veres is another holiday observed in Albania, and it is a pagan festival celebrated every 14th of March to commemorate the end of the winter season, the rejuvenation of the spirit, and the rebirth of nature. The primary activity of the festival is the cooking of sweets and eating of dishes that comprised of turkey legs, dried figs, boiled eggs, walnuts, and semat. Cuisine. Food plays a vital role in the Albanian culture and is integral to the hosting of guests in any home. It is common practice for Albanians to invite each other for a meal once in a while for bonding. Albanian food has much of Mediterranean influence, and the one that stands out as an aspect of Albanian food is the heavy use of olive oil in almost all of their dishes. When it comes to vegetables, the cuisine incorporates varieties that range from peppers, cabbages, zucchini, cucumbers, spinach, potatoes, and eggplants. Common Albanian spices and herbs include garlic, onion, basil, mint, and oregano. Their meat dishes vary from chicken, veal, lamb, goat, and beef. Being near the sea means that fish plays a significant role in the national cuisine from time to time. Religion. The people of Albania practice a diverse number of religions. Islam, Christianity, and Judaism all coexist peacefully. The constitution of the country allows for the freedom of worship without any constraint that can impede the practice of any religion. The country promotes religious tolerance. Of the three religions, Judaism is the oldest, having been introduced to Albanians in 1 BC. Christianity follows a close second, with records dating back to the era of the apostles. It is believed that Apostle Paul was the founder of the Durres Archbishopric while spreading the gospel in Illyria. Islam arrived in Albania in the 9th century, when Arabs raided the land from the Adriatic Sea. When the Ottoman Empire took over, Islam became the main religion of Albania and still has the majority of followers up to this day. Language. Albanian is the dominant language spoken in Albania. It has two dialects, the Tosk and the Geg. The Tosk is spoken in the southern regions, while the Geg is widely used in the northern areas. The Albanian language as a whole has its origin in the ancient Illyrian language, which was used in the Balkan region by the Illyrian tribes. In today's world, due to the scattering of the Albanian people across the globe, the language has established itself in Greece, Italy, Serbia, and Croatia, each with its unique dialect. The areas where the original Albanian language is primarily used include Montenegro, Macedonia, and Kosovo. Literature and art. Literature took its roots in the Albanian culture through religion when the Catholic Church developed Bible manuscripts written in the Albanian language. And this opened up the door for further development of the written form of the Albanian language. The Mashari by Gjon Buzuku became the first literary work written in Albanian. Albania has gone on and produced great literary minds, like Francesco Santori, a novelist and playwright, Zev Skiroj, a folklorist, Dimitra Kamarada, a philologist, among many others. Albanian art comes in various forms, ranging from architecture to painting to sculpture to mosaic designs. Albanian art also dates back to the Illyrian era, and over time has been influenced by the various external forces that sought to conquer the region. During the Ottoman rule, most of the Albanian art reflected Muslim themes from music to architecture. After independence, there was a burst of varied forms of art that were introduced by those that returned to Albania from exile. That was Culture and Traditions of Albania from worldatlas.com. A poem from the Albanian poet Farouk Buzhala. My house. My house is 100 years old. The wounds of time appear on the walls, even though I have tried to repair you. You are as beautiful as a monument of the past. I have lived and grown inside of you. My 100-year-old house. When it rains, why are you crying? The roof and ceiling leak, and I run with bowls in my hands to pick up the tears. Love, lost somewhere in the deepest cut of my heart, waiting for someone to awake feelings. To be alone when your heart wants to have friends near. To wish one wish when your body burns for some youthfulness. To think of the past when your nostalgia brings back all of the pictures of life. With a candle and the dark spirit, walk easily through the passing years. That's all for this week's World Traveler. I'm Leah Blackman for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.